We have special guest Rod Morrow, writer for The Game Theory, with Bomani Jones on today to discuss his thoughts on the Hornets' second overall selection and also to get some nicknames rolling in with whatever rookie pairs with LaMelo. That's all today on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
We're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. We're free. We're available anywhere you get your podcast. That does include YouTube. And this episode is brought to you by Game Time. You can download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. If you're watching us on YouTube, you see a first time appearance from someone who listens to the show and is also more famous than the show he listens to. He is a writer on Game Theory with Bomani Jones. You may have heard of it. You can find it on HBO. He also hosts an award-winning podcast, The Black Guy Who Tips. Find him on Twitter, at Rodimus Prime. Rod, it's a pleasure, man. This is something that should have happened a long time ago. And you're decked out. I appreciate you repping the Hornets right here on LOH. How are you feeling? First time on a pod that you listen to. How are you feeling?
Good, man. I'm a big fan of you guys. I didn't know y'all would do this at 8:30 in the morning. I'm on Friday's hours, so I'm even more impressed by both of you now that I know you record this early, because y'all are so upbeat at this time where I feel like I need about another hour and a half. I'm so impressed with Doug at this point, because his energy is through the roof at 8. My brain hasn't turned on yet. I'm still just waking up here. I'm a big fan, and thank you for having me.
Well, that means a lot. That's Doug Branson, who Rod is talking about. You can find his work on everyhornetsboxscore.com. No, but this is the thing. This is Doug going Adam Sandler Uncut Gems. This is how I win. Doug wakes up early as hell. And I myself am still trying to turn my brain on, but this is always how Doug has been. I'm sure to no surprise of the listeners, this dude wakes up even before, right? Like this is not 8, by the way. The dude's in Nashville. It's 7 o'clock hour over there. I mean, it's a different breed that Doug Branson is a part of. When he's giving you severance, Doug, riding the elevator up and down, that's all at 7 a.m. That's all 7 a.m. stuff.
Well, I'll give all of you the secret, and it's that I just wake up in the morning and I snort Jamal Mashburn highlights and Baron Davis highlights over and over. Oh, and then I do the show, and then I take a 7-hour nap.
Okay.
Well, that's some real sicko behavior. By the way, you can listen to me. We talk Jamal Mashburn highlights too on WFNZ 12 to 3 every weekday. But that's some real sicko behavior, right? And Rod, this has been the theme of the offseason. It was as bad as it could possibly get. No one could have expected that many injuries. Now, I guess at the end you're rewarded with the second overall pick. So when Doug was questioning to the Lords above, it can't all be for nothing. It wasn't. I think Doug's prayers were heard here, which thank you, Doug, for all that power, waking up at 7 a.m. and praying to the Hornets gods. It worked for us just a little bit. So with the sicko behavior, this has to be something you identify with, though, right? Because you go to the games quite a bit. When you're back in Charlotte after writing for Bomani in New York City for a while, you're going to a lot of the Hornets games. I have to imagine that you're a big time sicko.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm pretty sick. You know, I definitely try to get to as many games as possible. We have like half season tickets to the Hornets, and we started that last year, which was awesome because it was you know, like the year they like won 20 games more than they had won 2 years before. So it's like we're on the move. We're going up, and then this season. It was, you know, like the basketball gods were just cursing us left and right. It's like every game we went to, another person was just done for the year. And so by the end, it really felt like we were sick, you know, because we were going to be like for the more Thor movement. We were going to see, you know, we were going to see like who could Plumlee get traded. Like that was like, we're like, yo, if he gets another triple double, dude, he might be out of here. So like. Yeah. We were rooting for some weird stuff this year. So I think that makes us pretty sick.
Oh, every time, I mean, every time we had to look at Mason Plumlee's face on one of those Domino's free pizza, you know, that's the feel. When someone asks, like, what is the sickness? What is that feeling? It's the feeling you get when you look at a Mason Plumlee Domino's half off pizza tweet and he's smiling back at you and you understand all of the pain that you've had to endure, not just last season, but so many seasons. And we had someone in the Sicko Satchel ask us if you have to hold on to hope to be a sicko. Like, does there have to be an element to hope to all of this? So what do you think about that, Rod? Do you have to, can you be a nihilistic sicko? Can you just, is it possible to watch all of these games and truly believe that nothing great is going to happen? Or do you have to have a modicum of hope to hold on to?
My personal belief, my dogma is hope. Like, I'm probably the most optimistic Hornets fan you're ever going to meet. So to me, hope is essential in being a Hornets fan because
he's so far gone, Doug. He's so far gone.
It's if you have nothing, there's no reason. Like, even this season, I was talking to Walker and I was like, well, that just means we got to get this good pick. It's got to, like, can't be for nothing. We can't get the fourth pick. The gods wouldn't let that happen, you know. So I was proven right, you know. Shout out to Basketball Jesus Larry Bird, but we made it because we have hope. And I think even this season, we tanked the right way, meaning that I never went to a Hornets game and felt like they were playing to lose. I always felt like they'd like to win. The people on the court would like to win. The coach would like to win. Probably wasn't going to happen, but we, you know, you have to have hope in that. So personally, I think it's hard to be a sicko if you didn't believe like Alexis Jensen was going to work out at some point.
Yeah. 100%. Well, see, to me, yes, you're still a sicko if you have the hope. Like, that's a part of the disease here. That is a symptom of the disease. There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. So, and Doug, you were saying like you're even further gone than that, right? Like, it's not a sicko part. It's not a sicko quality anymore. It's something worse.
Well, no, I mean, the sickness is part of my DNA at this point. Like, I mean, I believe that they will get 50 wins at some point. And yes, Alexis was Wimby before Wimby. We have to remember that.
Yeah. No, don't you do that to Wimby.
Rod, so where's your head at on this draft pick? Number 2 overall, a lot of people like Scoot. There are a lot of passionate people that like Brandon Miller. So where's your head at on this pick right now?
So a couple things. I don't know how sick it makes me, but I low-key would love for Wimby not to be as good as people think. I would love, like, that's how I got so upset when people were like, thank God he went to the Spurs. Charlotte would have ruined him. I'm like, we don't ruin good players. It's not, we might draft not good players, but we don't ruin good players. That's not our reputation. Why are you putting that on us? I would love for, so that's already how sick I am. I'd love for whoever we get to be better than Wimby, for us to be like, oh, looks like everyone had the wrong train. Then the second thing is, out of Scoot and Miller, the main thing that I know about them are just highlights from YouTube. Like, I'm not even gonna pretend that I have some.
Right. No, let's just say this is a vibe segment. This is a feeling segment. We're talking this out. I mean, Rod's got, he doesn't have Schadenfreude, he has Schadenfrench. He wants Wimby to fail. So this is, what's your vibe on this, on these two guys?
So I like Scoot from his highlights. I like him more because I think he's like explosive. I think also like he looks ready to play. I keep having these thoughts of like him and Melo on the court at the same time and Melo being able to kick it out to somebody that can also still create another opportunity for somebody else, which doesn't happen as much right now. You know, I think the closest we have is, you could probably argue Terry. Sometimes you can kick it to him and he'll create a shot for someone else, but it's very low chance that that happens. So yeah. I do love that. I don't really worry about the defensive stuff. I'd love to just be able to someone else to get it on a break and make a play that's not Melo, you know. Like, so often I feel like anyone catches on a break, they either better score or that's it. Like, we don't have like another option. So I'd love to see that. I think also that could eventually solve some roster issues for players that people would like to be expendable that I don't think are expendable at the moment, but you get a certain amount of play from like a young guy, now you're like, maybe you get out of here by the All-Star break, you know. So I love Scoot. The other thing, though, is watching them Brandon Miller highlights. Now, they are highlights, so they're not showing him messing up. But man, that dude looks good too, man. I legitimately, I would not be disappointed with either pick. The main thing I even worry about with Brandon Miller is the off the court stuff from Alabama, and just can this fan base, can this front office take another like just pummeling through the PR gambit? Like, do we want to do that again? Like, it just feels like maybe off limits for us, but not off limits. You know, it's like how it's like how you get a certain age and you're like, I'm not going to eat this whole cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. But if somebody else want to eat it, I totally get that y'all should eat that cheesecake. And I feel like the Hornets are at the Cheesecake Factory. Probably should not eat that Brandon Miller cheesecake.
Well, you're talking a lot about how it's margins, right? I mean, there's things to like about both of these players, and that's what makes this pick so difficult for the Charlotte Hornets. It's not clear cut. So let me throw one argument at you and see what you think about this that I think may break up the tie here. Mm-hmm. The NBA cannot allow a player named Scoot not to succeed. Like, a guy that's named Scoot cannot not succeed. There have been countless Brandon Millers that have come through the NBA and washed out. But I just cannot fathom that the NBA would allow a Scoot to fail.
That is a good point. You know, it's such a marketable nickname right away. He's like, how many one name players are there even in the NBA like that? That we would have two of them at that point. You know, we'd have Melo and we'd have Scoot. So yeah, I definitely feel you on that. And they need to plug all their resources into it. Although I'm not a big believer in the NBA truly having a hand in the success of players in the draft, because, you know, I feel like people think they made Wimby go to San Antonio, but I'm like, if they had their druthers, they'd just be making everybody go to LA and New York every year. So I don't think the NBA has.
You're telling me the grand conspiracy does not run through the Alamo? Through the Texas desert?
For years, man. Tim Duncan, David Robinson, this is how they win. This is exactly how the NBA wins, is they send them to San Antonio. All right, Rod, I gave you somewhat of a task, only if you wanted to accept it, with the nickname proposition of if Scoot Henderson was to be drafted by Charlotte or Brandon Miller. I came up with a couple. I came up with one for each. Were you able to come up with any nicknames? Like, what's here we are. Scoot's fantastic. I completely agree with Doug. Doug, I don't know if you and I have agreed on anything more than we have about the whole Scoot stuff here. Like, it's the most on page we've ever been on this podcast.
It's true. It doesn't make for great podcasting, but we have to be real about it.
I wonder if the draft taking place so long after the draft lottery has driven y'all a little bit mad. Cause I do feel like y'all are now, I feel like if we don't get Scoot, y'all are going to need some time.
I keep checking the calendar. I feel like I've checked the calendar for 3 weeks and there's 4 weeks to go. What's going on?
No, but this is the thing. And this is what I've kicked to Doug too. Like, to give you a peek behind the curtain, I have talked to him like, man, how do we walk this back? We went so strong on Scoot. If Brandon is the pick,
we've ruined it. We are inside access. Brandon will not speak to us. He will have security usher us out of the arena.
We went too hard, Doug. It was so short-sighted.
I'm sick, Daddy.
I know. God, WFNZ is doing this too. Like my co-host Wes. I was like, no, I'm trying to bring it back. Wes won't let me. I'm trying to say, no, Brandon Miller, the vision's great. The shooting's awesome. I do worry about the handle being a little wide. He's like, you think everybody's gonna steal it? No, I just said he was good. But this is chaos. I just needed to get here. You're totally right about that.
I think the issue is the NBA should have made the draft lottery and the draft should be the same night. We don't have enough time to turn on anybody. We're just like surprised that whole night. Like, oh, we got the second pick. Oh, we're up in 10 minutes, everybody.
I think that would be Mitch Kupchak's dream, because I really feel like he makes the pick like 10 seconds before the actual pick has to be made.
Yeah. Mitch, wake up. It's time to draft.
What? Huh? Okay. And then he's got like 3 or 4 weeks of speculation that he knows not coming from him. Right. You know, like you made his mind up that night. Why not? Let's get it over with.
Let's all condense it to 3 months of speculation. Gavoni comes out with the 1 minute report that he's heard the Hornets are all in on Brandon Miller. Van Sam Amick says, no, not so sure. Brent Scoot Henderson, he's a guy that they're looking at right now. And then by the fourth minute, we actually have the pick come in. All right, Rod, let's hear your best tandem nickname, okay? If Scoot Henderson is the draft pick, number two overall, what kind of nickname do you have for us if it's going to be LaMelo and Scoot in the backcourt for this team?
Just heads up, these nicknames are terrible that
gotcha.
I came up with, okay?
Ours are too, or mine is.
The first one is if they get Scoot, and you know how LaMelo's been injured lately, I go Scoot in the boot.
I like that.
I do too. I like that. Scoot in the boot is fantastic.
Now Melo's not gonna love that, but
Melo might be a fan of that. You probably don't want to say that one out loud. That has to be inside baseball.
No, that's good. Do you have another one for Scoot LaMelo, or is your next one for Brandon?
That's my only Scoot. That's my only Scoot LaMelo.
So I've got a Scoot one. Mine's worse than that, so I'll make you feel a little bit better. All right, so Scoot Henderson with the G League. They're both playing the guard position. How about the Killer G's? I like the Killer G backcourt. You know, you roll with those guys. Is that fizzle or is that fire, Doug? I didn't hear any of that.
I fizzled that one. I gave you the oops, that's a bad mistake.
Fair. That's fair. Did you have anything for Scoot and LaMelo?
I don't have anything. I'm playing judge here. I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle of you two. I'm gonna be completely
taking
new
shots from without putting any ideas in the pot. I see
that's how it rolls. All right, that's how we roll here. All right, Rod, what's your Brandon Miller LaMelo backcourt nickname?
So I feel like they're both kind of skinny, you know, and I know LaMelo's putting on some weight now that he's been a pro a couple years, and Miller needs to put on some weight over the next couple years. So I would go with, until he puts on the weight, LaMiller light. That's
I'm gonna lose this one too. I feel a lot better about this one. All right, so this one is a little bit jersey specific. I also went with the skinny play. So when you roll with the City Edition jerseys, the Mint City Edition, both are very skinny, the thin mints when they roll out there.
I like that one. You're getting the AC laugh too.
All right, so it's okay. I'll roll with that one. That's the only one I have. So we'll roll with Scoot in the boot, LaMiller light, and then maybe when they have the City Editions wearing those
thin
out there.
Brandon,
the thin mints. The thin mints.
I mean, all these, you know.
All right. There we roll. There we roll.
I'm into these, but I don't think that – I think we've come up with nicknames that the players will absolutely hate.
They will not be into these.
They will not. This is Kevin Durant. He hates every nickname. These guys will hate all of these nicknames.
Yeah, it's for us. All right, that is the brilliant Rod Morrow. Find him on Twitter, at Rodimus Prime. You can also check out his work on Game Theory. Check it out on HBO. You can still catch those episodes with Bomani Jones and listen to his podcast anywhere you get your podcast, The Black Guy Who Tips. He hosts that with his wife, by the way, at Say Dad Again. It's an awesome one. It's hilarious. It's an award-winning podcast. It's an award-winning podcast for a reason. Rod, we appreciate it, man. Awesome debut. Hey. We'll have to do it again.
Yes, sir. Anytime, man. Thank you, and keep up the great work, everybody.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate that. Once again, Rod Morrow joining us here on it was funny because I was trying to say Rod Boone. Like Rod, Charlotte Hornets, Rod Boone. It's like, no,
you were trying to avoid saying Rod Boone.
Yes, I was. I was trying to like, no, it's not Rod Boone. It's Rod Morrow on the Locked On Hornets podcast after we've had Rod Boone on for so many times. So that was great stuff. Did want to remind everyone that this episode is brought to you by Game Time. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. You can forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event, and you can get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, but not only sport events, also concerts, comedy, theater, and even more than that. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. And if you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. You can get images of your seat too before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive.
And how clean the seat is. That's important. You don't want to get pictures of the seat to make sure that it's ready for you, you know?
It's a great
inclusion.
You don't
want to sit in a dirty seat.
No one wants to do that. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps, and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone, so you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONNBA for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Couple more segments to go. Locked On Hornets. That was awesome, man. Having Rod Morrow on. Longtime listener. I want to say super fan, but it feels weird because he's so much more famous than we are, and he's so much more important. So it's what validates us, Doug. Rod's fandom alone is what validates us, and that's what makes me feel great. But no, everybody, the sickos out there, you sickos, you validate us. And Doug, it feels like everybody's acting real sicko-y-ish with this draft process. Whew. I mean, getting in the feels, right? You put up a poll on the YouTube community page on Locked On Hornets, and it was a poll about, all right, where are we right now? Who do you want? You know, Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, you know, decent amount of polls out there. But the comments, more so, you're seeing a trend with the comments amongst the Scoot advocates and amongst the Brandon advocates. What is the trend that you see?
Yeah, we're going to have to wait for the results of my scientific poll. So if you haven't had a chance to vote, go to the Locked On Hornets YouTube community page and make your voice heard. Is it going to be Brandon Miller, Scoot Henderson, trade the pick? I made that an option as well. I want to know where your head's at right now. But from the comments, you know, I think I'm seeing a couple of things. I think definitely more people are on the Scoot wagon than they are off the Scoot wagon, despite the fact that the mock drafts are pointing towards Brandon Miller. I think people, I don't know what percent, I mean, we'll see what the poll says, but I don't think it's 50-50. You know, I think it is more so in Scoot's camp still at this point. The other thing that I'm seeing is that everyone is feeling very strongly about either player. And I think that speaks to the importance of this pick. I think people understand that if the Hornets get this right, that it's going to set the franchise in a very good place for many years to come. And if they get it wrong, it's going to have the exact opposite effect. It's not going to have a neutral effect. It is going to set this franchise that is already borderline, if not already there, irrelevant. It's going to set them back even further. And they understand that it's all being made by a front office that may or may not be part of the future of this franchise, which I think it's an invisible tension that sits over all of this whole process. Mm-hmm. The final thing that I'm seeing, and I think this is the most interesting, is that it feels like people who like Scoot will more readily admit that Brandon Miller would be a good pick. That, look, I like Scoot, but Brandon has some things that the Hornets need, whereas Brandon Miller fans are like, Scoot is trash, and Brandon Miller absolutely needs the pick. But it is, most listeners that have been listening to this or watching this for a long time know that I'm a big fan of the Dan Le Batard show. And Dan always talks about this idea that there are two kinds of people in the world. One that wipe, you know, when they're on the toilet, they wipe front to back or back to front. And neither camp can fathom how the other camp does the thing that they do, like how it even works. It doesn't make any sense to their brain. And that's a little bit of the sense that I get from some of or a lot of the fans of both Scoot and Brandon Miller, is they can't really see the perspective of the other side.
Yeah, it's pretty opposite driven right now. Well, and this is because you have more on the line getting the second overall pick right in this kind of stake. Then it's not like, I mean, you might have had some people that hated Mark Williams or Jalen Duren or whoever at 13 or 15, but you up the stakes here big time when you move up to number two overall. Here's something I wanted to talk about, too, just with the evaluation process, because I heard David Cobb, who is a college basketball analyst, I believe, for CBS, if I'm not mistaken. He was on WFNZ last week, and I think he was discussing something a lot of people feel if you are in the Brandon Miller camp and do not want Scoot. David Cobb was talking about how raw Scoot is, and he was pointing to the shooting numbers, and then there was really nothing else that he pointed to. But I do feel like if you can't shoot well, then you're already, boom, you're raw, just labeled as a raw prospect. And to me, it doesn't make sense to label Scoot like that when the guy is a good decision maker, pretty high level IQ when you're talking about pick and roll decision making. Where else is it? Like defensively, he could probably, you know, he's going to have to learn a lot more at the NBA level. But so is everybody that's going to get drafted. And so I don't know if he's any more raw in any other level than other players here. And the shooting, I know he's got the ability to shoot, right? We've seen the form isn't broken by any means. The free throw percentage isn't awful. The three-point percentage in the mid-range needs to go up, but we'd love his mid-range opportunity. I just feel like people will look at the 27% three-point percentage, which somebody commented that we're not talking enough about it. Dude, everybody's mentioning it. Like, it's the number one. It's the number one mentioned stat with Scoot. Okay, like, we've mentioned it. Everybody
shut up about it.
Yeah. So clearly the percentage is not there. He needs to shoot better. You would love to see that. But just because he can't shoot well doesn't mean that he's raw. Like, I feel like other people, other fans feel that way, and that Brandon is this polished, finished product that even has a higher ceiling than that. And I don't see it that way.
No, and I think you're right. The form doesn't look broken. He did show the ability to not only get a shot to go down, but to actually make some space for himself. He's got a number of dribble moves and escape moves and different things that he can create space, which is going to be super important.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is a little bit on the smaller side. The thing that I get a little aggravated over is that the two things that people harp on with Scoot in the comments or just in general are the height at 6'2",
yeah,
and the shooting percentages. And what I would say is, like, these would be the same people that would have passed on Donovan Mitchell for Malik Monk, which is the parallels are a little bit eerie, because Malik Monk did have that 40 burger against UNC that everyone pointed to and was excited about. And, you know, Brandon Miller had the 40 burger against South Carolina that people won't shut up about. And so that's what I would say is, like, you would pass on Donovan Mitchell and you would have been wrong in that draft. And I think you're wrong in this draft.
Yeah, I think and Donovan could shoot like a lot better at Louisville. Like, he was better, but
there
were
still
right
quite no, there's no doubt about it. And the percentages bear that out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there were still, I remember that draft process and people were like,
concern.
I don't think that Donovan Mitchell's shooting is going to translate to the NBA. And they said the same thing about LaMelo, and both all those people were dead wrong.
Yeah, I don't the small thing. I get it with trying to lead a team to a championship if he is your number one player. OK, there's still work to be done for this Hornets franchise. You still need wings that are very good. You still need the complete picture. I understand that completely. But the whole, oh, he's 6'2", disregard him at number two overall. Okay, even Sam Vecenie joined us and talked about how he doesn't like small players. He had three guys under 6'3 in his entire top 50. But doesn't that say something just about how good this guy is? Plus, it's not like 6'2 players don't have any spot in the NBA when his wingspan is long enough, and he's also not going to be some turnstile. He's going to be hard to move because he's also so physically gifted. He's so strong. It's not like you're putting out the smallest guy. It's not Trae Young out there trying to defend point guards and taller shooting guards. Like, this is someone that has a solid base. So, yeah, this is to me, I completely agree with you. The shooting, the size, okay, like, legitimate concerns. I'm not trying to say, oh, no, he's great at everything. It's just we don't have to point to that and say, oh, he's raw. Never figured out in the NBA, which goes to your absolutism when talking about Scoot compared to talking about Brandon Miller.
Well, all I'm saying is just be careful in those comments, because I am driving the Scoot wagon. I will pull it over and I will kick you off, and you will not get any of the complimentary snacks that are available in the Scoot wagon. So just watch
Scooty
out.
Scooty snacks.
There are all kinds of Scooty snacks, and you will get none of them because I will kick you off the Scoot. I'm watching. Just understand this. If you comment, I'm watching, and I will kick you off. Also understand this. If you want on the Scoot wagon, plenty of room. It's very spacious, very comfortable, lots of leg room, okay, on the Scoot wagon, and you're welcome.
And it's because it's built for people that are 6'7", and a lot of the people are only 6'2", so there's plenty of room. Yeah. There's plenty of leg room.
Well, it's built for Brandon Miller fans, yeah.
100%. All right, let's move on. Coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Oh, no, I wasn't ready.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay. We can wait a little
bit.
Don't
go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
There's that beautiful graphic and that beautiful sound of Eric Collins' voice. We're going to talk a little bit more about you sickos. We will start to rummage in the sicko satchel a little bit more to end us here. But this episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. And Bird Dogs are a company that gives you the best, comfortable, most fit, most versatile pants and shorts out there. It's all about the fit, the comfort, the versatility. You can look better and feel great wearing Bird Dogs. Their stretchy fabric makes legs look fantastic, and they're comfier than other shorts and pants. They give you the freedom to wear one pair of shorts or pants on the golf course, to a meeting, to a date, or hanging out with friends, or even doing a podcast. Do you have your Bird Dogs on now, or are you washing them, Doug?
Oh, I have them on right now. I have two pairs on. I have both my pairs of Bird Dogs. I'm double dogging it.
I'm sorry. I said one pair of pants to any of those events. You can wear both. It's okay.
Sure, why not?
You can absolutely do that. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonNBA. When you enter promo code LockedOnNBA 2, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. So go to birddogs.com/lockedonNBA. One more segment to go. Locked On Hornets. All right, one more segment. We'll finish it out here with a Sicko Satchel reference. Do we have the intro ready, Doug?
Yeah, I do. But before we get to that, okay. Which I have to actually pull up.
Okay.
But before we get to that, I wanted to read one other comment that wasn't in the Sicko Satchel, but I thought was interesting to this conversation, which is from Sounds of Tatro is the username. And this comment says, this whole thing is just being milked at this point. I guess referring to the conversation that we have with Sam Vecenie. If the Hornets don't trade the pick, Scoot is on the team. It's that simple. Please move on to other picks. The Hornets have a ton of draft capital. So Sounds of Tatro, really, he wants to hear about Seth Lundy or he is out of here.
He was like, you know what? I think Sam, I can't stand the Scoot talk, but he was onto something with Omax Prosper. That's what I wanted.
Yeah,
to
Amari
talk
Bailey, or I'm unsubscribing. I love that. I think this is actually Mitch Kupchak's burner account. I hope it is. I hope he's just like he is totally locked so into good. Scoot, and he wants more intel from us about the 27th pick, so that he can figure out what to do. And he's got 3 second rounders, which is a dream for Mitch Kupchak.
Yeah,
this is well, it. So no, Sounds of Tatro. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying Sounds of Tatro. I think that is Mitch Kupchak's burner.
All right, thank you, Mitch, for listening to the show. We really appreciate it. Draft Scoot, do the right thing. What is the first question? We might only have time for one. What's the question you want to roll with here first? A part of the Sicko Satchel, Doug.
Yeah, big pressure now that there's only time for one. I mean, I think I like Billy Bob here. What are some realistic goals the Hornets should aim for next season? That's a pretty sick question to really get down to the realism of it. Because I think you would be probably better off just fantasizing about the Hornets. But I think it's super sick to try to get down to realism, to understand that this team is not going to achieve the highest goals that you have, that you can imagine.
Right.
You want to get down to the realism of it. So, Billy Bob, you truly are sick.
Well, no, that is a good question because we've answered this pre-lottery. We have not answered it post-lottery. And when we were answering it pre, we had the high hopes of possibly getting Wimby, and it almost happened. But, of course, here they are with the number two pick. So, with Wimby, the question was, is it fair to expect or ask for a postseason berth, a top six seed? I don't think that's on the table anymore. I shouldn't say that. It's not impossible, right? I just don't think that's what I expect from this squad with the number two pick starting alongside LaMelo, because I do think there's a real shot that a Terry Rozier or Gordon Hayward maybe gets traded at the deadline. So I don't know how different this roster is going to look even as it transforms as the season goes on. Because, Doug, to me, if you're making a win now move, does that involve trading Terry Rozier? Because I'm not sure that it does. I think anybody wanting to take Terry on, it's what Zach Lowe's talking about too. Like when you have two teams trying to do the exact same thing, win now moves, same objectives, it's kind of hard to find another partner to make a trade alongside that because you're getting rid of a piece that might help you win now. And so is the other team. I guess the way to make that work is a different position. But if the backcourt is already full, if Scoot is on the squad, right? And then you're talking about Mark Williams already being the center. It doesn't mean there aren't any other positions to go for. But to me, yeah, I just think I'm not reaching for a top six spot. That's not what I'm expecting. But I do want a play-in appearance. I would like a play-in appearance this year. I don't think a top 10 seed is too much to ask for, even with the second overall pick playing heavy minutes probably.
That has to be the goal.
Yeah.
To play after the regular season has to be the goal. It's probably the most realistic goal. I mean, I'm going to put, an away game play-in as a realistic goal. Anything above that, I think, would be overachieving for a roster that hasn't really achieved all that much in their tenure. So and they have to, you know, I think a realistic goal is winning a play-in game. You know, not a realistic goal is not getting absolutely shellacked in a playing game. Maybe you lose by two or three instead of
this is our sicko nature coming out right now. Oh, that's our goal. No, don't get beat by 30 in a play-in game. That's the goal. That's the realistic.
No, listen, in all seriousness, I think this team has to get to the play-in, and I think they do have to win a game. Now, you know, if they win one and then lose to get knocked out of the play-in, I think you'll see us making some excuses for the team at that point, trying to rationalize it in our heads. If it's not a blowout, right. But if they lose that, if they get into the play-in and they've got the away game and they lose the first one and they're out, then, you know, something significant has to change at that point. But you're right. It's difficult to answer any of these questions because this is not a settled roster. This is not a team with a particularly settled plan to win. You know, I mean, all we can do is expect them to win, but we don't really know, because there hasn't been years of setup to understand what the plan truly is. We're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants at this point, hoping that they get the second pick right, hoping that they can find someone to take Gordon Hayward's contract and hopefully add assets short-term or long-term to this team. You know, there's a lot of decisions to be made after the draft. And all of that, you know, to say, like, I would love for this team to understand, hey, we've got the second pick. That could be game-changing. Let's go after this thing right now. Let's get into free agency. Let's dust it up. Let's trade some of these contracts. Let's move some pieces around. It's tough to expect that when there hasn't been any history of that, unfortunately.
All right. Thanks for making Lockdown Hornets your first listen today. Make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Have a great rest of your day. A great weekend, actually. Goodness gracious, it's already Friday.
Long
Have
weekend.
A great weekend. We'll be back with you Monday.